I just finished an extraordinary meeting in my office with the officers of the OU chapter of the former SAE fraternity, with student leaders of our African-American community on campus. To say it was a very emotional moment for me is an understatement, because I observed our students rendering apologies being accepted, uniting, treating each other with care and concern and love, and dedicating themselves to the rebuilding of our university community. It's impossible for me to express to you, having heard their words and listened to them talk to each other, bearing their souls to each other in my office just now, how proud I am of our students and how grateful I am to be part of the University of Oklahoma community. All of you would have shared the same feelings had you just witnessed what I witnessed for the last hour and a half. Today, we are beginning a new phase of our reaction to the crisis caused by the ugly and reprehensible racist chant that took place here at the university. We enter the phase now that's even more important, of rebuilding the strength of our community and moving forward, individual by individual, making our own contributions to the strengthening of our community here at the university. There will be many new initiatives next week. I will announce the appointment of a new vice president for the university community. We'll have diversity, sensitivity as part of the portfolio of that office. That person will work not as an associate provost or an associate vice president or be somewhere else. They'll report only directly to me. They will have the closest possible relationship of me. They will have the support of my office any way I can get it to help our new vice president help us continue to move the campus forward. Vice president's office will be here in this building with me so that we can communicate constantly as we need to. We are going to have diversity sensitivity training for all students at the University of Oklahoma starting this fall. We are working on the best way to deliver that training to all incoming students, not just those who go through Camp Crimson, but to all of them and to all of our existing students, because we have to better understand each other, each other's needs. And from that understanding will come more respect, the kind of respect that we must have and the kind of community we want to develop. You know, we're an educational institution, and it's extremely important at an educational institution that we learn from what has just happened, that as we go forward with our lives, we learn lessons that need to be learned from what has happened to us. And sometimes crises can also be moments of opportunity. I've been meeting with many groups, large and small, of our students and talking to them about what we need to do together. The opportunity we have, not only to make our sense of community and family on this campus even stronger, but the opportunity we have to reach out to our entire country, the whole American community, and try to make a difference. I will in a moment release the results of our internal investigation and also our response, including the appropriate disciplinary actions that we've taken for several other students, approximately 25, in addition to the disciplinary actions that we have already taken with students and the disbanding of the chapter. In all of these cases, I can tell you that the individuals involved who have received disciplinary action have accepted that action, and that disciplinary action will be carried out. it is important that we, when we make serious mistakes as individuals or as organizations, we're held accountable for them. We pay a price, and then we move forward. And that's exactly what we're trying to do at the University of Oklahoma. And we also today want to send a message, as I said, to the rest of the country. This is not just a problem here at this campus or at other university and college campuses across this country. This is a problem in America. We have had an epidemic of racism all across our country. Ferguson, Missouri might be the best known case, but it's all across our country, every day, every week. There seems to be another one. And I've asked myself, why? Why is this happening? I don't know why it's happening, but I know what we can do in this country of ours. Every single one of us here and every single one seeing me or hearing my voice, we can stop it. We can stop it if all of us and the institutions and organizations we belong to and all of us as individuals say we have zero tolerance for racism in America. That's not who we are as an American people. We're the greatest melting pot in the world, an example to the rest of the world, a place where we respect everybody in this country. And so one by one, we need to stand up and let our voices be heard. And when someone uses an inappropriate word in our presence or tells an inappropriate story in our presence, we need to stand up and say, "Don't say that in front of me. I don't want to hear it." It's not who we are as Americans. And so we ask the rest of the country, as we work to rebuild our sense of community here at the University of Oklahoma, join us. Join us in this policy of zero tolerance for racism in our society. I don't know what's causing it, but I know how we can stop it. And every single American has it in his power or her power to help put a stop to it. So that's what we're dedicated to doing. I want to thank several people who've helped us during the course of this crisis. I want to help, first of all, our students who've spoken out and said, "Sooners are not racists, Sooners are not bigots, Sooners respect and care about each other. This is not our university. This is not who we are." I applaud your courage. I applaud your actions. I applaud your marches. I applaud the fact that you have lifted your voices. You make me extremely proud to be president of this university. I want to thank our faculty and staff who've tried to teach the lessons we've learned from this event in classrooms and all over this university and have helped in such a special way. I want to thank our alumni who've responded to me in a way that I can't even begin to express to you in terms of the numbers of people I've heard from and the strong messages of support I've received. And that includes some of the alumni of the SAE organization. There are many fine people in that organization. They didn't have this chant when they were here and they were involved in this organization. They can't be tarred with the same brush, and especially I want to thank Josh Pyron of my hometown, Seminole, Oklahoma, who was in the SAE chapter here since I've been president. I've known him all of his life. He wrote me a message that I'll remember all of my life about how he felt as a former member of that chapter and how it didn't represent him or his fellow students when he was here. And he's made that public statement. And when you hear from someone from your hometown who has experienced life in that organization himself, you hear a message of support from him saying you've done the right thing, as painful as it is. That means a lot to you. I want to thank Judge Mike Burridge, former federal judge, one of the most outstanding trial lawyers in the United States, who has given of his time many, many hours to sit with us as we've made these decisions to make sure that we're following the law, that we're striking that careful balance between individual rights and freedom of expression, no matter how reprehensible, and what the law allows us to do, and what the civil rights law of 1964 allows us to do, to make sure that in a very careful way we have struck the appropriate legal balance. So I want to thank Judge Burrage for his wise counsel, advice, and help during all this. I want to thank Professor George Henderson, Professor Emeritus here at the University of Oklahoma, who has agreed that he will conduct personally the sensitivity training required for some of the individuals who are being disciplined today. He's a great civil rights pioneer in this state. He's made a tremendous difference in the fabric of our society. And he has counseled me as well during this crisis. And I want to thank Dr. George Henderson for helping us through it. So as we complete this phase, I want to say how vitally important the next phase is. What happens now? What we say to each other, how we work together, how we treat each other, how we find ways to strengthen our family will determine the course and shape of this university for years to come. And I appreciate the efforts which are ongoing now and will continue in the future as we move forward. So I simply want to thank all of you and encourage you. This is not the end. This is just the beginning of our efforts to build the kind of community, to learn the lessons we need to learn, and to share those lessons with the rest of the country, so that not only have these tragic events had an impact on our university, which will make us stronger in the long run, but we hope that these events will have an impact on the entire country and make it stronger in the long run as well. Now, we're going to pass out now, if you don't already have them, some information about our investigation and findings. And I beg your pardon, but I will try to briefly read these. On March 7th, 2015, the members of this chapter here, the SAE, were en route to the chapter's Founders Day event in Oklahoma City. On one of the chartered buses, a racist chant was sung, as we all unfortunately know, and captured on video. The university became aware of this video and events right away and took action right away. On March 8th, 2015, immediate steps were taken to begin an investigation, and this memorandum is the result of that investigation undertaken by the Office of Student Affairs into the culture of the chapter and determine the method by which the racist chant was learned and passed from member to member. The Office of Student Affairs undertook its investigation in order to follow the inquiry and to investigate the variety of media, press, and other reports that indicated the chant had been learned within the chapter and was part of the culture of the current chapter. Beginning on March 8, 2015, university officials conducted interviews, and I might say over 160 interviews, to determine how the chant came to exist at the university and the manner in which it was learned and passed from member to member. The findings of the investigation are detailed below. First, the origin of the racist chant at the Oklahoma chapter of SAE was that it was learned by chapter members at a national leadership cruise sponsored by the national organization 4 years ago. That chant was learned and brought back to the local chapter. Over time, the chant was formalized by the local chapter and was taught to pledges as part of the formal and informal pledgeship process. Prior to the chapter's annual Founders Day event on March the 7th, that night, there was alcohol readily available at the fraternity house in violation of the student code and our university regulations. And there is also evidence that a significant number of chapter members were consuming alcohol prior to boarding the bus when the chant was sung. Fourth, a part of the chapter's normal recruitment activities in connection with its founder, as a part of the Founders Day event, the chapter had invited approximately one dozen high school students who were present at the house and were exposed, some were exposed to the chant on the bus. Fifth, it is clear that during the 4 years since the chant was brought to the university campus, its existence by recent members, that it became part of the institutionalized culture of the chapter. And then there's a brief summary of the disciplinary actions that have been taken. And I say these, state these in a general manner because federal law and appropriate policy prevents me from naming every individual by name and the disciplinary action taken for each individual. I will just summarize the range of those disciplinary actions. Some of you already know about some of them, and I'll list all of them. In addition to the fraternity being disbanded as a result of these findings, the university has issued discipline to involve students ranging from permanent withdrawals, community service, and mandated cultural sensitivity training. Officers of the fraternity have also personally met with representatives of the affected student groups. As I just indicated just a moment ago, that meeting took place in my office, and rendered personal apologies face-to-face to leaders of the African-American community here at the University of Oklahoma. That discussion took place, those apologies were rendered, and those apologies were accepted. Now, these are the findings of the investigation. I provided a summary of the disciplinary actions that have been taken. In addition, I am writing a letter to the executive director, which I'm releasing to you, of the National SAE organization to their headquarters in Evanston, Illinois. I have written as follows to the executive director. As a result of the recent unfortunate incident involving SAE members during which they engaged in a racist chant, the University of Oklahoma undertook a comprehensive investigation into how the chant arrived on our campus and how it was learned and institutionalized within the local chapter. Those findings and correspondence from local, I've had findings of the investigation and correspondence from local chapter leaders indicating that their chant was learned by the local chapter members while attending a national leadership cruise on a cruise ship sponsored by the National SAE organization 4 years ago. While there is no indication that the chant was part of a formal teaching of the national organization, it does appear that the chant was widely known and informally shared among the members of the leadership cruise. We recognize that the National SAE organization has taken certain steps to condemn the actions of those engaged in this specific act of racism, and has disbanded the local chapter and is taking steps to expel individual members of the chapter. The matter cannot be closed, in our view, however, until the culture at the national level has been addressed. To that end, the University of Oklahoma is interested in knowing the answers to the following questions. Has the National SAE organization undertaken any investigation to determine the extent to which the chant is being taught or disseminated by individual chapters across the nation? If such an investigation has been conducted by them, as we go back to these national meetings and the cruise where it was seemed to have been first learned, what steps have been taken by the national organization to remedy the situation? And I certainly, personally, and as president of this university, would like to know the extent of their investigation, what they have found, and what they are going to do. When I marched with the students and we put a post-it on the door of the Vice President for Student Affairs, my words on that post-it were, never again. What are they doing to assure that this will happen, that there will, that will never happen again? So this is our letter to the National Executive Director, asking further cooperation from the national organization to know, let us know how this took place. So in essence, I think I've summarized the findings of, I say, over 160 interviews, maybe 170, by our Office of Student Affairs, the disciplinary action, the full range of disciplinary action that has taken place, the personal apologies that have been rendered, and I hope some of the lessons that have been learned by what has happened. And I'd be happy to entertain any of your questions here. We'll try not to go on too long. Yes. Yes, only students, because after all, the university can only discipline students. Only students, and the 17 additional students on the bus that were singing the song, that's included. The seven or eight, there was some overlap between the officers of the chapter, I think approximately seven or eight, so you add that number together, it's approximately 25 additional students. And as you know, two students have been withdrawn from the university and the chapter has been closed. So that would be the sum total of the disciplinary actions that have taken place. There will be community service as part of this disciplinary action with this group of students. The apologies were part of this disciplinary action. The sensitivity training that will be conducted by Professor George Henderson will be a part of this disciplinary activity. So. Pardon? Yes. Well, there were various, there were dates. And so, but the dates were not singing this song. They didn't even know this song. I'm not sure that they even would have stayed voluntarily, gotten on the bus if they'd known that song was being sung. So the people who are responsible, who sang the song, who learned the song, none of whom stood up and said, stop. No, and there are not any particular. Some of the dates were in the Greek system. Some were not. There was a wide variety of people, but we've tried to focus the disciplinary actions as carefully as we could. Now, you know, it's very difficult to get it exactly right, and some of the people who have received disciplinary action were more involved, some were less involved. There may have been some others that someday sung this song, but we don't know about it. We don't have the evidence that we can say they did. So we tried to carefully focus the disciplinary action that we took. There were high school students on the bus. I can't really tell you too much more about who they were. Younger brothers or potential recruits. They were potential recruits for the fraternity, and apparently that's a sort of traditional that they have invited to their Founders Day activity each year a certain number of high school students who came. But there were some on the bus. There may have been some that met them there. I don't know, but there were some high school students invited to and involved in the event. No. Yes. No, they withdrew as a result of the action of the university. Time will tell. I will just simply say it would be a very difficult course of action to take while I'm president. They were expelled. Yes. Well, I don't think you can call names. We know racism when we see it. We know when certain inappropriate words are used in our presence. We know when inappropriate stories are told in our presence. I don't think anybody here at this press conference needs to be taught about what racism is. We know it when we see it. We saw it, and we've reacted to it, and we've said no tolerance for it. Well, I told the students who were together today and were in the situation where the apologies were rendered, universities are not isolated from the rest of communities, the rest of our society. We can't build a wall around this university and say all the influences from the outside can't come in here. We're going to be separate from it. We're going to be immune from it. No, all those influences, whether they come from homes, whether they come from classmates in high school, whether they come from communities where they grow up, whether they come from Ferguson, Missouri, wherever they come from, all those influences come in and impinge upon our students. And so that's why an experience like this, look, I have to only say that what I saw and heard a few minutes ago caused me to shed tears, because I care so much about our students. I really care for them. That's why I resigned from the U.S. Senate to come back to be president of the University of Oklahoma. I wanted to invest my life in these students, and I'm really proud that I did, pleased that I did. They're worth the investment. Good young people. Even the best of young people, and all of us, everyone among us knows it. Who among us did not make a mistake, particularly in our younger years? Who among us still don't make mistakes? And we have to learn from those mistakes, sometimes tough lessons. Maybe that's the best way to love and care about somebody. Teach tough lessons when tough lessons need to be taught, and then move on and know that you can put your life together. Do I think all these young men are racists in their hearts? Do I think they're proud of what they did? No. Do I think they'll learn from what they did? I saw the results of what they've learned, and I heard their voices, and I heard their words, and I know they've learned lessons. I heard it this morning. So, no, our purpose here is to not brand people with certain words for life. Our purpose is not to forgive. Our purpose is to learn lessons and be held accountable and then move forward with our lives. Yes. Well, again, I don't think it's up to me to make that judgment, but that's the reason I've asked these questions of the national chapter. All I know is that when they have a national leadership meeting, it's a sort of akin to a national convention, that it has been held traditionally, at least the last few years, I don't know how long that's been going on a cruise ship. And I'm not sure where that cruise ship goes. I'm not sure, where did it take place? Where did they embark? I haven't determined all of that. But I have received information from members of our current chapter, some of whom were seniors who knew when that happened 4 years ago and remember when the chant was brought back. And they have indicated that that is where it was learned, and they brought it back from that cruise. Does that mean that they were taught it by some official of the national chapter? No, I don't think so. I think it was just there, informally being passed around and sung, but by a lot of people from a lot of places, and then they brought it back. You mean some of the members of the chapter here, some of the alumni, they've referred to it as a cancer. And I think, again, I just await word from the national chapter as to what they've found. Have they conducted an investigation? Is it a cancer that came outside and came in? We still have to remember that even if it came from somewhere else, our chapter took it on and institutionalized it and used it. So you don't have to sing something just because you heard it someplace else and brought it back. So there's a great deal of responsibility here that we have to learn from, but it could be shared responsibility in some ways with the national chapter, and I just think we need to have our questions answered. Excuse me, just a minute. I'll take you and then I'll take you. Yes, excuse me. Go ahead. No, I would say they didn't. And there were African-American members of fraternities, too, who were present today, as well as white members of fraternities. And it was said that they didn't think that it was in the culture itself to be racist. What they said is, we don't get to know each other well enough. Forming into groups of any kind, especially when you then try to form a close-knit group, can become exclusionary without even intending to become exclusionary, so that we don't get to know each other and people outside the group as individuals and share thoughts and really share a friendship with each other. And so that was what was said. And I think that's true not only of Greek life, as I told the about 1,200 fraternity members when I met with them Wednesday. I've seen what they can do. I've seen them raise money for charity. I've seen them reach out and mentor students, and I've seen them tutor students. I've seen them be big brothers, and the sorority members be big sisters. I've seen so much good that can come. So I said, I know your power. Now use that power. Use that influence to rebuild the trust, to reach out and make everyone feel they belong at this university, to make everyone feel that they feel safe at this university. And I really think they heard that message, and I'm an optimist. I believe they're going to respond to this challenge, and as I said to them, crises are opportunities. And I think we have an opportunity here to do something for ourselves, our university, do something for the country. Yes. Yes, 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 it will. And we've been very active here at the University of Oklahoma. I said we have zero tolerance of racism. We also have zero tolerance of violence toward women. And we've proven that. We have had a very active Title IX process. We have supported that process, even going at times to the courts to make sure that our process has been followed and that we have the ability to enforce that process. Yes, there has been, but I would say it's not been totally widespread. And I think that what we have to do is go back, and I hope in every way. We have a President's Trophy that awards this kind of activity, this kind of sensitivity, multicultural events, and I could name a score of things that we have at this campus that whose goal and aim is to do sensitivity training, but we don't want anyone to fall through the cracks. So we're going to make it universal. We're going to make it universal. Yes. Well, that's a very tough balance. And, you know, I'm a person that believes fervently in the freedom of speech. You're right to say it, even though I might violently disagree with what you're saying. And I think students need to know that. And universities should be a place of a freedom of ideas, a free marketplace of ideas. That's what we are. That's what we should be. But there come times, and I think the Civil Rights Act tried to split that situation where they said, if speech is used to create a threatening and hostile environment to the educational experience, then, and I think there's no doubt in this case it was, and it was widely broadcast, then you have a right to act. So this was speech spilling over into action in a way, and I think that, to me, we had no choice. I have a friend that says, do right and fear not. We tried to do right. We snuffed it out right then. Took me exactly 2 minutes to decide what to do about closing that house and finding those responsible. And I think that's what we've got to have. I'm sick and tired of us studying everything to death across this. Oh, something, it causes me grave concern. Why don't we call it what it is? It's wrong. Stop it. Don't study it to death. Don't worry about being taken to court. Stop it. And that's what we tried to do. But we tried to do it with sensitivity again, carefully. And I really appreciate the advice and help of Judge Burridge, who worked with us, and we tried to take great care in taking the appropriate steps. It's a tough call. It's a tough call. It's not easy. And you have to, we have a lot of competing values here at stake, and we have to be very careful about that. No, I really, yes, we don't plan any further action. This is the close of this chapter. It's the close of the chapter of our response. It's the first phase is over, as I've indicated. The next phase is rebuilding our trust and our strong community here on the campus. So, yes, that's it. It's approximately, could be 24. It's about 25, let's say. Yes, they're part of that. They're part of that number. And those that were singing on the bus are part of it. And the officers who have to accept accountability. Some of their actions were actions of omission rather than commission. But when you hold an office, we know that. When you hold an office, and I hold an office, and I should assume responsibility for what's going on and for what the university's response is. I shouldn't duck and hide. And they have to learn, they have to assume responsibility. It's a life lesson that needs to be taught. Oh, I don't know enough about the real estate legal issues yet. The university is the owner of the house, and we have our legal staff looking at the rights and obligations of both parties. Obviously, there was a lease, and there were certain agreements about leasehold improvements, and we're looking at all of that now. We've had similar problems in the past when we've had to shutter another fraternity at one time. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. The Unheard Group has had tremendous success on campus. In fact, some were there this morning, and I said to them, I wish you'd change your name to Heard, because they have been heard. And I started last fall, for example, when I first had my first interaction with them. There were a lot of things that they talked about. More diversity among counselors at Camp Crimson, our orientation, so students right off the bat would see more. That's happening. We've already taken affirmative action to really encourage more people of color, for example, to become counselors at Camp Crimson. Homecoming, the speaker series, the music series, the campus activity council committees needed more diversity and representation. That's happening. More multicultural programs like we have in engineering and other councils. I've met with all the these were positive, constructive, I think very good. I really commend them for the kinds of proposals they made to me. The establishment of the vice president, who's going to wake up in the morning thinking about diversity and the need to make our campus more inclusive and go to bed at night still thinking about it. I wanted to find exactly the right person, because I had to find a person I trust, I work with, I want to hear from, and that needs to be someone who works directly with me, that tugs on my coattail when I need to hear about a problem we have. So, oh yes, Unheard has been heard, and they were being heard, and those meetings with the Dean's Council and the Student Affairs Office and the rest of it, some of the people who are here know about it, they happened weeks before we ever had this incident. So we were already in, I think, a very constructive, and I really want to commend the students who have been members of that group and leaders of that group, because they've brought things to our attention, to my attention, that we needed to address. And when they finished up their list of things they thought we needed to work on, I found myself in virtual agreement with them. Well, I again want to thank all of you. I apologize. I can't do individual interviews with everyone, but I'll try to, if any of you want to try to find me informally. But I hope this answers most of the questions. As I say, I hope this brings to a close the first phase of our reaction to the events that occurred, the unfortunate, ugly, terrible, heartbreaking events that occurred. And now we're moving forward to the next phase, and we're going to be as vigorous in this next phase of rebuilding, because we have a great community here. We have great students here. I've never been more proud of the vast majority of our students than I am today. So we're going to be moving forward with the next phase of rebuilding that trust. Thank you all very much for being here.